We're in Psalm 71 this morning, Psalm 71, verses 1 to 24, a prayer of confident hope for the vulnerable, oppressed elderly. Elderly believers facing decline in power, influence, and strength can find life to be troubling and fearful. Psalm 71 provides a prayer for the vulnerable elderly believer, and we view it for our insight as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we're so grateful for your loving kindness to us as people. We thank you for the work of our Savior on the cross on our behalf, that by faith in Him we might have eternal life. And then beyond that, the equipping that you give to us as believers through the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God to understand Scripture, then to use it and to live it. We ask for your help this morning to understand the text, wisdom in dealing with it, and your guidance throughout our class, that it might be productive for the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, what I'd like to do is to read the psalm, first of all, in the King's English, King James Version, and then we'll look at it from the translation from the Hebrew text. Psalm 71, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee I have been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's womb, actually. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thine honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this or the next generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee I will sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my harm." Okay, there are no introductory remarks in the Hebrew text, so we stay with the numbering system in the English Bible. As we've learned in the past, the introductory remarks that you have in the English Bible are actually verse 1 or verse 1 and 2 of the psalm in the Hebrew text, but in this situation there is no introductory note, so we just have the 24 verses in the Hebrew as well as the English. So we translate it as follows. Verse 1, "And you, O Yahweh," remember Yahweh is the name for God as the I Am, by which he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and it's the name that God utilizes when he's referring to himself in relationship to Israel, in his covenant relationship with Israel. "So in you, O Yahweh, have I sought refuge. Let me never be put to shame." Verse 2, "Snatch me away from trouble and bring me into security in your righteousness. Incline your ear unto me and save me. Be to me my rock cliff of refuge." In antiquity, you would seek, if you were a soldier, you would seek the higher ground. and especially a rock cliff, because that would provide you the ultimate security from your enemies. So be unto me my rock cliff of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me for you. This is emphatic. Normally, the pronoun is not written in the Hebrew. The pronoun is something that is implied through the spelling of the verb in Hebrew. But when you write the pronoun out and you put it in front of the verb, it's emphatic. You are my cliff and my stronghold. O my Elohim, cause me to escape from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those lacking integrity and the ruthless. Because it is you, there's an emphatic pronoun again, who have been my ground of hope. O Adonai, Adonai is the word my master, Yahweh, my object of trust since my youth. Upon you have I leaned from the womb, from the inward parts of my mother. It was you, emphatic again, who severed me. That means who cut the umbilical cord. My praise will continually be with you. I've become as a symbol of a divine curse to many, but you, emphatic pronoun again, are my strong refuge shelter. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away in the time of old age. Do not abandon me when my strength is gone. Because my enemies speak against me, those who keep watch against my life principle conspire together. They say, Elohim. Elohim is the word for God as the creator in Genesis chapter 1. They say, Elohim has abandoned him. So pursue him and seize him, for there is no one to snatch him away from trouble. O my Elohim, do not be far from me. O my Elohim, come quickly to save me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm my life principle be covered with scorn and disgrace. The word life principle is nephesh. When God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he became a nephesh. That implies physical life, emotional life, mental life, spiritual life, psychological life, everything about you that makes you a living person. So that's why we translated life principle. Okay, verse 14, but as for me, emphatic pronoun again, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, although I do not know its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Adonai Yahweh, O my master, the I am. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. O Elohim, since my youth you have taught me, and until now I declare your marvelous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O Elohim, until I declare your power unto the next generation, your might unto all who are to come. Your righteousness, O Elohim, reaches to the skies, you who have done great things. Who, O Elohim, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I myself, that's an emphatic pronoun again, will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my Elohim. I will sing praise to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy because I sing praise to you, even my life principle again, which you have redeemed. Also, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, because those who want to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Okay, we note significant observations and applications of the psalm as follows. The psalmist's confidence that God will help him handle his enemies when he is old and vulnerable is built on the precedent of God's provisions since his infancy and youth. It's interesting, you go back to verses 5 and 6, the author recognizes that he's been trusting God since his youth, and that would, you might think of childhood, but he goes back further than that. Upon you have I leaned from the womb, from the inward parts of my mother, it was you who severed me or cut my umbilical cord. There's a tremendous application in regards to this. If God in the past saw to it that you could be born and saw to it that he protected you all the while that you were growing up, if he has allowed you to get to this point in your life, he's got to provide for you now so that you can complete the assignment that he has for you now. Now, obviously, none of us knows when our day is coming. We all have our days are numbered by the Lord. And so there's a terminus and ad quem and terminus ad quo, that they say the beginning and the ending of our lives. But until it's time for us to go, the Lord has a purpose for our lives. So if God has taken us this far, he'll reach us. I'll never forget During the Vietnam War, my rating was shifted from 2S, which is student, to 1A, which means you're ready to go. And the draft number, my number was 11, which means you're already in Vietnam. So I didn't know what to do. And my dad says, well, son, of course, I was raised in Africa. He says, I remember the many times God kept you from being bitten by poisonous snakes. And I mean, I've got lots and lots of snake stories. And dad himself was had a run-in with a lion at one time on a motorcycle in the bush and all this stuff. We got all these stories about it. And scorpions, you name it. But the many times that we could have been killed and that the Lord preserved our lives. And dad says, if God wants to preserve you, even if you have to go to Vietnam, he'll see to it that you're protected so that you can do what he wants you to do. Well, long story, short story, I went to see the lawyer that they provided for me. And the lawyer provided, he said, you're on your way to completing your education to be a minister anyway, so why don't you just, I'll take care of the draft board. You just tell me that you're going to go ahead and finish your education. So I did, and they changed my status back to 2S. So, but the Lord has a way of protecting people. It's very interesting. Also, number two, the great value of elderly saints in the earthly program of God is presented in verse 18, testifying to the next generation of God's faithfulness and power that the upcoming generation might relate well to him. Thus, elderly believers must not consider themselves to be useless, but valuable for the next generation. It's unfortunate, but in our culture, we have a tendency when a person gets to a retirement age or something, they think, okay, well, they're not valuable anymore. They're just sort of cluttering up the landscape. From God's perspective, it's just the opposite. Dr. Dwight Pentecost, who was a professor and my mentor at Dallas Seminary, he's now with the Lord. He died at about age 95, 96. The last video I saw of him, they had a video that he played, and he said, he was quite elderly at the time, he said, I say facetiously that I'm preaching in all 50 states of the Union on any given Sunday. And everybody looked at him, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I've discipled men who are going out into preaching, and I have men that I personally know in all 50 states of the Union, and they're preaching. So I have a ministry to them. Believe it or not, he actually fulfilled prophecy. In the church era of the Philadelphian church, which is just before this era, the era that ended in 1950, actually, the other one dovetails over with it a little bit, God had promised that he would make the one who overcame a pillar in the church of God. Now, the pillar in 2 Kings 11:14 is a place where they would crown the kings. The kings, this is a custom, they would crown them right by one of the pillars. They had two big pillars outside of the temple complex itself, and they would crown the king there. And we know from 2 Kings 11:14, this was a cultural thing they would constantly do. Well, Dr. Pentecost has had an influence on getting all these men. He himself was a pillar in the house of God because he affected the belief systems and taught men how to preach and so forth. And now they're in all 50 states. So that was actually a fulfillment. And it's wonderful. He also testified when he was a student at Dallas Seminary. He said there'd be many, many times when we thought the seminary was going to have to close because, you know, people didn't have money they couldn't give and so forth. And just when we thought the seminary was on the verge of closing, Dr. Chafer would tell us about how the Lord had marvelously provided so that we can keep the doors open for another year. And that went on year after year after year. And when Dr. Pentecost told me of that, I thought, wow, this is so applicable. I look in the history of our own church, there have been times when we've had annual meetings. I mean, not annual meetings, congregational meetings, because we were wondering, you know, where are we? Because the giving was shy, or we were right behind maybe paying our missionaries, and sometimes they've been behind in years past, even in my salary and so forth. But the Lord's always come through. And this year we're actually ahead. I think it's like $27,000 or something. It's amazing what the Lord has done. So it's neat to see the Lord bless. But it's really wonderful to have the testimony of those who went through the Great Depression tell us how the Lord provided for them. Now, number three, this psalm is also set in a culture where the elderly were normally esteemed. So for the elderly saint here to be suffering oppression from enemies is the height of evil oppression. So believers must ever be vigilant to relate well to God, for every evil oppression can occur to anyone, even to the elderly. Many years ago, when I first took the pastor here at Nepog Church, we had a lady, Emma Clark was her name. She's now with the Lord, quite elderly. She was in her 80s at the time. Something happened, and she had to leave the apartment in which she was, and she didn't know where to go. There was nothing else that was open. And she prayed to the Lord. She didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what to do. One of the men who we had as an elder in our church at the time, who was a certified public accountant, and he knew of a man who was a head of an elderly apartment complex, and that man knew that one of the apartments had opened the day before. So we got, Dave was the elder in our church. He contacted that man and arranged for Emma to get into that apartment. And it was a perfect apartment, it was a corner apartment, so she had windows on two sides, not just up at the end. And so she had a wonderful time there. And it was amazing. Every time I would go to visit her, she was constantly praising the Lord for the fact that the Lord opened up this apartment for her. She said, who would have thought that when I was in my 80s, I would have to trust the Lord even for housing. But here I am, the Lord's providing for me. So God has a wonderful way of taking care of people in all ages. So I know often we deal with people who are elderly. Sometimes it's our parents or aunts or uncles and so forth. And there's a tendency for people like that to become afraid because they're more vulnerable in their old age than they were when they were younger. And it's always interesting to see that the Lord can help them. So the lesson is, the psalmist drew encouragement and direction for handling difficult trials from the hands of evil oppressors, even in his old age, by recalling God's help in his life since infancy and childhood, believing that if God had helped him reach old age, there must be a purpose for him in his elderly years. The psalmist also realized his divine calling to testify to the next generation for their benefit about the faithfulness and the power of the Lord. So may we rely on the precedence of God's help for us in our past, for faith in his help for us today. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself. It doesn't have to be. If it's on something else or another issue that's come up, feel free to...